is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to the Medical Travel Show, a forum for ideas, challenges, and benefits for international medical travel. This is Irving Stackpole, and I'm here today with my co-host, Elizabeth Ziemba.
Thank you, Irving. As always, it's a pleasure to be here in the studio with you and to introduce our guest, Joyce Alumno, who is joining us from Manila, Philippines. Ms. Alumno is a talented woman who wears many hats. A staunch advocate of global healthcare travel, Ms. Alumno is the country manager for the Philippines for the Aster DM Healthcare Group, headquartered in Dubai. Concurrently, Joyce is founder and executive director for HealthCore, the Center for Global Healthcare Management and Medical Tourism Research and Communications in the Philippines. In addition, she is the regional representative for TIMOS Certification of Germany. We are pleased to welcome Joyce Alumno to the Medical Travel Show. Welcome, Joyce.
Good morning, Irvin and Liz. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us. So I'm sure our audience will be keen to learn, Joyce, how you first became interested in or involved with international medical travel.
Well, it dates back to 10 years ago when I myself became a receiver of healthcare, looking after my father for a long time in a private hospital. Staying there for over a month, I have observed a lot of things that would need improvement, especially since I actually came from the tourism sector. I have been a tourism professional managing a, first class or five-star international resort. And then I have seen the kind of care and service that was being given in that hospital. And it was, for me, totally disappointing. So from then on, I thought that there were some opportunities for improvement in that sector. And being a business analyst at a point in time in an investment banking firm, I started doing my own research as to how healthcare and tourism can actually work together. And in my research, that's when I found out that health tourism was already starting in Bangkok by one hospital. I think the rest is history, as they say, when I started approaching the government to start working on the medical tourism program for the country. This was about 2005.
Well, you've certainly got a storied history in the sector, and you've identified one of the very sensitive touch points or nerves in the sector, the convergence of hospitality and healthcare. I know that in many healthcare organizations, hospitality, they can't even spell it, leave alone do it. So I think you've hit upon something tremendously important. Is the role of quality in healthcare compatible with the role or the aspects of hospitality?
I believe, Irving, that there is definitely something to learn for the healthcare sector from the hospitality industry, in the sense that in healthcare, we used to be too focused on just delivering medication and other clinical services, but we somehow lose point on the actual care of the patient, something beyond the clinical care, but I would say even more of the emotional service through hospitality that we can render, not just for the patient, but also for the family who is actually attending to them. So in most cases, it's really, yes, we look after the patient, but there are other areas that are being left out or missed out. We know that once a patient is in the hospital, it is emotionally disturbing and it's very stressful also for the family as well as for the patient. So, and we know that healing is not just about the physical state of the person, but also the emotional, the mental, everything that concerns the person. It's a holistic approach that has to happen while you are in the hospital. Definitely there has to be a balance or a combination both of the healthcare or patient safety and hospitality when we are delivering healthcare service in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. As you just described, Joyce, there's the hospitality sector plays an important role in the growth of international medical travel as an industry. And I believe that you are a national assessor for the Philippines Department of Tourism for the country's official star rating of accommodations. Could you tell us a little bit about that program and your role?
Well, that's really pretty interesting, Liz. As fate would have it, 3 years ago, I started to get involved in the accreditation of hospitals by representing NABH International and lately also of JCI. And interestingly enough, just a year ago, I was invited by our Ministry of Tourism to also become a national auditor for the accommodation sector for hotels and resorts. I'm a licensed third-party auditor for that. And it's interesting to see the kind of standards that are being practiced in the healthcare setting and as well in the hospitality sector. Right now, especially with the surging of medical travel in many places, we know that there's a big component there of hospitality or tourism factor, especially when one travels from one country to another. Culture, the standards could be the same from one country to another. And now we are at the point where we are trying to combine both the standards for healthcare and hospitality through another certification. And that is where TMOS certification comes into play. TMOS is something that you actually do after you have acquired a certain level of international standards for your hospitals. So usually it is given to hospitals that have already secured JCI or NABH or any international certification for their hospitals. And then the moment that they decide to cater to foreigners, or not just to foreigners, but to travelers, then TMOS comes into play by giving certain standards how to take care of the travelers or the tourists. So now it has evolved in the sense that we're more conscious. We're instilling more conscious effort in attending to this kind of patients, especially the international healthcare travelers or the medical travelers that we call it.
One of the things that we've noticed, Joyce, in interviewing worldwide leaders in the sector is how many began their interests in and involvement with international medical travel based on a very personal story. So here it is, you're talking mm-hmm. about layering in TMOS certification on top of other nationally or internationally recognized accreditation protocols and merging finally and ultimately the kind of hospitality you probably would have liked to have received when you were caring for your dad those many years ago. So it's interesting to me to see how your career trajectory started with a very personal story and what a wonderful way you've been able to bring this all together.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you call it Faith Irving, but I think having, like what you said, having experienced it personally myself for a long time. In fact, I actually took care of my dad for almost 10 years, and he's been transferred from one hospital to another. So literally here in the Philippines, I think he has tried about 7 or 8 hospitals. And so that actually opened my eyes to so many things in the hospital sector. And just one day, I decided to leave my job and told myself that I think I have to do something about this sector. And from then on, the passion was just evolved and fired up. And you're talking in several conferences, and then later on, getting a chance also to be part of a healthcare conglomerate based out of Dubai, which is Asidium Healthcare, and all of the things that I have learned in the past, we are now able to hopefully apply through this organization as well as we launch and open our very first unit in Asia, in the Philippines. So from Dubai, they have expanded to the Middle East, to India, and now to the Asia Pacific through the Philippines. So again, this is a result of medical tourism, and medical tourism, I would say, has different modes. It's not just about transferring or moving a patient from one country to another, but medical travel has also evolved in such a way that it has helped in the development of the country's healthcare infrastructure and the economy in general in such a way that we are able to bring in investments from other countries to a certain country. And that's where I believe healthcare globalization is actually taking place.
Hmm.
So from one person to a company or a big organization to another. So the healthcare has, the healthcare industry has really evolved in many ways now. And I would say thanks to medical tourism or medical travel, because it has opened the eyes of many people in different countries, including the government.
I couldn't agree more, Joyce, and I'd love to talk with you more about that. I'm currently writing an article about medical travel as a tool, a catalyst for economic development. But we'll do that some other time, perhaps. You just mentioned working your role now as country manager for the Philippines for Aster DM Healthcare Group. Many of our listeners may not be familiar with that organization. So if you would please tell us a little more about them, what the company does, and what your role is within that organization.
All right. Thank you, Liz. This is not a promotion, but just to say that since this is something relevant to medical travel, Aster DM Healthcare is based or headquartered in Dubai. As you know, Dubai is actually a hub for travelers. And from there, 27 years ago, a clinic has evolved into more than 200 establishments around the Middle East, Gulf region and the Middle East with hospitals. I believe we now have 12 hospitals, 60 medical centers, and 160 pharmacies around the Gulf region. And then with the advent of medical travel, seeing patients traveling from one country to another, and since we have seen that India has become a major player or a major provider for medical travel, ACDM Healthcare has already also expanded its presence in India. And we just opened, in fact, last May, officially opened Aster Med City, which is the first quaternary care hospital in India.
Yes.
And that is based in Kerala. It's in a 40-acre island, Lisbon, Irving. So you can see that there is really a good interplay there of nature, tourism, and healthcare. So we're able to provide really a holistic healing for the patients, and it's really positioned for the medical travelers from mainly from the Middle East and also as far as London, because it is now a center for there are actually 9 centers of excellence in that hospital with 1,100 bed facility.
Wow.
It's a 1,100 bed facility, and soon it's going to have its own hotel, convention center, a medical university. So it's really an island for, it's a healthcare hub by itself. It's a 40-acre island. So just try to imagine also the magnitude that we are trying to develop in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, this year we're starting in Asia. We all know that Asia, especially the Philippines, we are a major source of healthcare professionals. One study said that 75% of the nurses around the world actually come from the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And so we remain to be that until now. I mean to say, we continuously are producing several healthcare professionals. So I think it's just but natural for us to also look into investing, increasing the capacity here in the Philippines, so that Who knows, in the future, we are seeing some interplay between across these countries. You know, if one country, for example, Middle East or Dubai, is lacking in healthcare professionals, then the Philippines can provide them with the services. Same thing with India. So there's really going, it has become a small world, so to speak, for us, such that we are able to complement each other's services in this part of the world.
Very, very interesting dynamic story of DM Aster Med City. We actually had the pleasure of being there in Kerala before the dirt started to get pushed around, as they say. And we were amazed at the scale of the plans. And anyone in the area, anyone in the sector that has an opportunity really needs to visit that project. But you brought up a very, very interesting point in the globalization of healthcare, Joyce. You are in a developing location, in a developing sector, and you are at the heart of one of the most important issues, which is accreditation and standards applications. That we all know, those of us working in the sector, that there is a whole group, a whole drawer full of various accreditation standards. Where do you think this is going? Will we have more accreditation before finally the sector starts to settle down and harmonizes standards between countries and between various accrediting agencies? Where do you see this all headed, Joyce?
If you were asking me, Irving, at the moment, there is still just one body that recognizes all these accrediting agencies. And I think you are well aware of the ISQA, the International Society for Quality in Healthcare. Somehow, they are able to standardize all these standards for the different accrediting agencies. What's happening right now is that the push is really coming from the country itself. For example, JCI was there because of the U.S. Standards, JCAHO, and then they created the JCI. Malaysia has their NSQA, which is also accredited by ISQA. Accreditation Canada is there for the Canadian social healthcare system. And then there is NADH, which is actually born out of India. I would say that the motivation is actually coming from the need of each country to set a certain level of standards for their healthcare providers. But in the process, they would like to make sure that they are benchmarked and at par with the international standards. And so that's where ISQA actually comes into play. And from there, these countries try to go out of their own country to help other countries. In some cases, in fact, let me give you an example. For example, Indonesia, they don't have standards, so to speak, and so they approach JCI to assist them in developing the standards. This has happened, I think, in the last 5 years. And so now Indonesia has got their own standards, as you said, by JCI. In the same manner that for the Philippines, Steel Health, our standards were actually guided by ACHS, the Australian Council, and also by the JCI, or Accreditation Canada. And now also NADH has started helping us, our providers, in developing or setting the standards for their organizations. So if you will ask me, Irving and Liz, I don't see really a competition in that respect, since each accrediting agency emanates from the own needs of their country. Mm-hmm. And I think the only difference there is really more on the culture and the laws that are prevalent being implemented in their own country. So an example is NADH. They have accredited some organizations here in the Philippines, but the reason why the providers would like to go for NADH is because of the cultural sensitivity. Mm-hmm. The same manner that in India has got the same countries or the same problems as what our country is also experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So they are able to find solutions to those challenges, to those problems, and I believe those same solutions can be applied to us. So it's actually a choice of each organization or each hospital they think will be appropriate for their need and for their own market, I believe.
Terrific. Well, thank you, Joyce, for a far-ranging and yet quite in-depth conversation. Please tell our audience how they can reach you.
Okay, thank you, Irving and Liz. I really enjoyed the discussion. The audience can reach me through my personal email account. That's jsalumno@gmail.com. And my mobile number is country code 63-917-891-8998.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Joyce. I always enjoy talking with you and always come away with having learned something new. So thank you for sharing your comments with us. And for our audience.
Thank you, Irving.
Thank you. And for our audience, do you have any comments or questions about our discussion today? Please leave your comments on the Facebook page for the Medical Travel Show. This is Elizabeth Ziyamba. Thank you for listening.
And this is Irving Stackpole. You have been listening to the Medical Travel Show. Remember to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the UR Business Network. Broadcasting from Woburn, Mass.